Hey, Peyton, how you doing?
Good, how about y'all?
Good, thank
Yeah.
you. All right. Soon as Johnny connects, then we'll just kind of go get stuck. We'll start getting get going here.
Okay, sounds good.
Got a lot to cover today.
Yeah, we do.
Johnny, are you with us via audio?
I am, Curtis. Can you hear me?
Yeah, you're a little bit away from the mic. You might get a little closer, but I can hear you.
I was doing my exercises. I'm good now.
Okay, doing your exercises. I love it. That's good.
Wasn't that in?
Part of
Wasn't that
mine
in
too.
last week? Yeah. That was Curtis. That was in last week, I think. You know.
Yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay. Let me take a sip of water, clear my throat. Okay. So first of all, how's everybody doing?
We're good.
Okay. Good. All right. Okay. Well, look, before we get started, this is the drill, and this is what we want you to say to your clients. Is before we get started, I have an agenda, but I want to hear anything that might be on your mind before we get started. So that's kind of how you should be approaching your clients when you call with your specific agenda. Okay? So let's just go around the horn for a moment, and I'll just ask each one of you if there's anything that's on your mind before we get started. So, Lisa, anything about the materials or anything we've covered that you want to review?
Nothing really about the materials. I feel a little bit behind on my piece of it with the scheduling, and I wanted to ask. I meant intended to ask JR before the call. I got on to, I had my training with Cindy a
Okay.
couple weeks ago on my scheduling, and had a macro issue with I think our security admin was blocking the macro to pull over into Outlook, and so she said that she had run into it with another one of our teams. JR, are you familiar with that at all?
I'm not, but I'm happy to look into it if we can spend some time together and you can
Well,
share.
I Yeah, well, what I did yesterday or the day before I got tech on and I was showing him my issues and he took pictures of the screenshots and he submitted a case for me, but I haven't heard back from anybody. So, that's kind of where I am on my scheduling tool. And, so we really have not, I've not, schedule. Johnny has been sharing with clients that he's been talking about the 1242 that we'll be contacting them, and we kind of had said that we were going to get really started in September, which is next week. So I really need my scheduling tool to be on go prior to that.
Lisa, why don't we just get some time tomorrow? I'm pretty good with Excel, so we might just be able to figure it out together.
Okay.
I'll shoot
Yeah,
you a note.
I think maybe one of the issues is that this is kind of an outside of Morgan Stanley process, and they probably got some encrypted things that are preventing that from going through. But you might, have them check that out because I think it's in use in other places, and maybe Cindy can add some value there as well.
Well, Cindy was the one who told me I need to get with my people to unlock it or whatever the term would be,
Okay.
unprotected. And I did a portion of that, but our TechConnect guy wasn't familiar with it either. But Cindy said maybe it's because we're doing a lot of our work remotely that might have a higher level of protection now because of the remote
Okay.
way of working. So that's kind of where I've run into a roadblock. I think it's just a technical issue, and JR, I'll get with you tomorrow and we can unleash that piece of it before
Okay.
I start putting people on schedule.
Okay, very good. Petten, anything on your mind?
Okay. Thank you.
You know, I sent you an email. I don't know if you got a chance to look at it today, but it was about, there was a comment about, you know, the folders and how you kind of get going with that. There was something that you wanted from me. I don't know if you remember what that was or.
Yeah, it was, you know, we had talked about this whole thing. It's the concierge program with the 1242 and the hour response and the 24-hour resolve time. I was wondering if y'all had a paragraph that kind of nailed that down all in once. It sounded pretty good and smooth. Okay. I didn't want to recreate the wheel and do it myself if y'all had one already.
Okay, so you wanted a script that kind of explained 1242, okay?
And I figured that could go in our Mini-Me
yes.
folder.
Right.
Like, okay. That'd be a good spot for it. So if you have one, I'd love to take a look at it.
Okay. I got one in my head. I got to put it on paper for you. But I may have one on my computer. I'll take a look. Okay. One of the things that, well, before I do that, how about you, Johnny? Anything that's on your mind about anything that we've covered or client responses to anything that you want to bring up?
No, I think we're all on target. You know, Lisa and I working together daily, and then we talk to Peyton daily as well. But we all, probably in a day goes by, we didn't discuss this. But the scheduling, Lisa and I both, and Peyton, we know we got to get that on track, not to let anything. We're creating this to prevent problems, and we want to make sure we don't create any going forward. And
Okay.
But sounds I do like good. The concept. When I mentioned the 1242 to people, you know, only one out of maybe – half a dozen or so have just changed the subject. They'll be the ones that say, well, let's talk next month. I understand that. These are people I know very well, Curtis, so you can understand that. But the majority of the people are welcoming this. I think it's going to really create a continuity of our business that we want to take it to the next level. So we're looking forward to it. A lot
of work. Fantastic. Fantastic. Well, look, one of the things I wanted to do, is I put together, it's a script and strategy for using, the referral model. So I'm jumping ahead. And the reason I'm doing that is I want to put in perspective how this is really supposed to kind of look as you continue to make progress in Supernova. So let's review that script. I, sent it to you. And if you don't have it in front of you, that's okay. I didn't send it until today. But let's look at some of the bullets in the beginning. So, you know, what we're trying to work toward is having this great concierge practice so that you are now organized to begin to receive referrals. So in bullet number one, let's say that you're organized and clients as well as the prospects are now on a regular call schedule and they are on your calendar. Okay, so that's one. Before you can even bring up the subject of referrals. Number two, you've elevated the level of your service using 1242. A 1 hour response to problems, 24 hour resolution, and you are implementing a financial planning process. Number three, you've got monthly client agendas. So you have batch processed out kind of an educational topic in addition to these urgent topics that clients want to talk to you about and that you want to talk to them about. Number four, the clients receive an executive summary after each call. So that email goes out. It talks about this is what we discussed. This is what we agreed to. These are the things we're going to implement. And these are the next steps for our next call. Okay? So that's your executive summary. Don't make it long. Okay? Because then you'll get wrapped up into, you know, trying to perfect it. Just a summary. is all you need. It's a one paragraph. Then number five is you've conducted a review or you've done something that provides an outstanding benefit to the client. Let's talk about that. And I call this, don't give anonymously. Okay. And what does that mean? That means when you are providing something or doing something without acknowledgement. Okay. Always restate what you've accomplished or given to them in a client benefit during a review. This is where a lot of FAs take themselves for granted when they're accomplishing something for a client. So let me give you some examples of what I mean by that. You've reduced taxes by saving them $10,000 a year. You gotta tell them, you gotta explain what you did for them so that they see the value in what you've accomplished. You've created a trust to avoid probate. So share that with them. You've protected the family against loss of the primary breadwinner. You know, if something happens to Bill, God forbid, we've got the family taken care of. And we could generate, you know, X dollars in income every year, both from the portfolio and from the trust that we created. We've grown the assets through effective portfolio management. You know, 3 years ago, we had a baseline of, $800,000. And our assets are now at $1.4 million. I want you to pat yourself on the back for making good, solid investment decisions. You've helped to solidify retirement income in the amount of an additional $8,000 per year. Tell them what that specific amount is. And you've saved thousands of dollars in interest payments by moving from consumer installment debt to securities-based lending. Okay? Now we've got deductible debt and we've helped the client. So I want, and these are just some of mine. Now you can come up with some of your own and you can use these, but I want you to start expressing the tangible benefit that clients are receiving from you. Okay? Remind them of that. Now, when you've done all of these things that we're talking about, that we're learning through Supernova, now we're ready, we grease the skids, so to speak, to begin to get referrals. That's where we're heading. There's no cold calling in Supernova. So I'm going to review this script and I'm only going to do it one time. Then what I want you to do is take the words, move them around, make them your own, take some ownership of this so that it becomes yours. Okay, so here's how this is written. Now, Mary, I'd like to ask if there's anything else that you and your family, husband, values in the relationship or the experience and working with us and the service we provide. Now, what you want to do is you want to listen. What do you want to hear? You know, I was a little skeptical about the frequency of contact, but I can now see the value and how important that is. You know, you're extremely sensitive to the needs of the family. You've been effectively educating us on so many concepts that we're unfamiliar with. The service capabilities that you all are providing has been exceptional. Your problem-solving ability, you're great listeners. I like your organization. I like your team. So that's the feedback you want to get. So because you want to turn that back around into how are you going to generate your referrals now? Now you got this concierge practice. Realizing we're not all the way there yet, that's what we're working on. So the V in VIPSA, V-I-P-S-A, stands for what do they value? Okay. In the relationship, value. Then you're going to ask, what else might be important to you? Now, this is where you're getting kind of this indirect survey or feedback. And what we're doing here is you want to see if there's anything that's been left out that you need to pay attention to that happens to be important to them. You know, and some clients move through that Maslow hierarchy of needs into what we call that self-actualization. Okay, so what does that mean? You know, look, my needs are taken care of. I'm more concerned now about helping my parents and Aunt Susie and leaving a legacy for my kids. So you've got to figure out what you haven't maybe addressed that might be important to the client. All right. And that's why you ask that question. And they may say, hey, doing a great job. You're addressing all the important issues. Or they may say, well, what do you mean? We just want to make sure we constantly fine-tune our service and capabilities for you if that's okay. So, you know, they may say, well, what do you mean by that? Then you use that part of the script. Now, that's the I in VIPSA. What's important to you? The P in VIPSA talks about permission. Okay? With your permission, I'd like to briefly brainstorm with you. We're always looking for good clients that would like to work with our team. Are we at a point in our relationship that you can enthusiastically endorse us or me? And we talk about the enthusiastically endorsed model in Supernova. You know, you're going to ask your clients, can you enthusiastically endorse your CPA? Can you enthusiastically endorse, you know, your attorney? Can you enthusiastically endorse your realtor? Because what you're doing is you are building this golden Rolodex that you can use at any time. Okay. So with your permission, I'm gonna let's brainstorm. That's how you say it. Then you wanna explain the introductions process at this point. Now, as you know, sometimes people are reluctant to provide a referral because they're sensitive. They want to make sure you don't misuse, you know, their friend down the street, the colleague at work. But here's what I'm going to tell you. This is how you get around that. Let me explain our introductions process. It's a meeting over coffee, breakfast or lunch. Now, in a virtual world, you want to connect with them virtually because you can't do the coffee, you can't do the breakfast, you can't do the lunch, right? You would bring the individual with you and make the introduction. So you'd say, you get them connected with us on a virtual call and make the introduction. I find out a little bit about them. We explain who we are, what we do, and at the end of the meeting, we then determine if a one-on-one follow-up meeting with just the potential client is warranted and possible. That's it. No pressure. And if there's a follow-up meeting, we explain the 90-day free look. Now, don't worry about it. We're going to revisit this when we get into client acquisition. But the 90-day free look is treating the prospect for up to 90 days as if they were a client. they get on the call schedule. You know, you send out the executive summary. They get the folder. They go through everything that you would go through with a client. This is when we give the potential client to be an opportunity to be treated as if they were an actual client, and they're placed on the schedule for contact and follow-up. Prior to the end of the 90-day period, I don't care if you close them in a week or 2 weeks, but they get to be contacted up to 90 days, and they make the decision if they'd like to work with us. Now, remember, you're explaining this to the referrer so that they feel comfortable, you know, submitting the name. So you're going to use this here or later in the conversation. I'd use it with COIs, centers of influence. I'd use it with clients to extract names. All right. Now, we're going to get into who in your network of family, friends, neighbors, church members, or business associates that might welcome a personal introduction. Now, the S in VIPSA is how would you suggest we meet him or her? How would you suggest? And what advice would you give me? That's the A part in VIPSA. What's your advice? How would you suggest we meet? Listen very carefully for signals. And then what advice would you give me in terms of how we should interact with Bill or Mary? Okay. Then you're going to close. Look, I appreciate you and the time given to us today, and I look forward to the next call. And thanks for arranging a meeting with Bill, or I look forward to our next call. The optimum time to do this with a client is during the review process. It's a great time. You can use this at any time. So what we're doing through segmentation, organization, you know, culling the book, right-sizing the business, is now being able to free up the time to get clients that are targeted at that level that you want to receive, okay? Now, look, if your top 20 clients, just 20 of them, gave you six names, you'd have 120 prospects. If your six COIs gave you six names, that's another 36. You're like over 150 folks that potentially can become clients. And I know for your length of service in the business that if you get a personal meeting, your close rate is over 80%. There's over an 80% chance that they're going to become a client. It's probably higher. Take 80% of 100. That's your client flow that's going to come in if you consistently use this process. And those are only two of the eight client acquisition methodologies that we're talking about here. So that's what your future is going to look like. And that's why you have to continuously use stair step to the stars and upgrading the level of client that you work with. Now, let me pause for a moment. Any questions about what we've covered here? It makes sense? Okay.
I think I see the need for additional soldiers on the field. Am I right in saying that?
Okay, boots on the ground. So please explain. Get a little deeper with that for me.
So we know that when the situation is better than it is today, we are going to be hiring an intern to help with, and it'll be some of the folder systems, et cetera. But we onboard the even a percentage of what you're talking about. We can't disrupt the business we have at home now.
Exactly.
and we're going to need to be able to handle that.
Right. And that's why we really encourage you to have no more than 100, but 85 relationships. And so you're going to have to educate these folks that are going to enthusiastically endorse you about the type of client that you're looking for. You just don't want names. You want clients that have a certain asset threshold that you feel comfortable with, working with. Okay. So, you know, you're now doing this concierge practice, and if all you did was set your target at 2 million, and your next 30 to 40 client relationships have that level, what's that going to do to your business? It's not supposed to increase your workload. You know, whether you're working with somebody with 2 million or 750,000 is not really going to increase your workload. Okay. But yeah, you'll have to, you know, rethink, you know, your support. And while I know you've been moving and transitioning some accounts to Payton, you know, what's going to end up happening with you, Payton, is your thresholds are going to increase. So is your paycheck. Everybody wins. Okay. One other thing that I sent to you, and you read this at your own convenience, I sent you an article which was creating an emotional connection with your prospects. And I kind of give you a personal experience about when I was a newspaper boy down in Fort Benning, Georgia. See, I've got a little Southern in me, right? So, you know, here we are, and I'm 13 years old, and I'm going in, and you know, people are moving in, and people are moving out, and I expand this route, and I'm asking people my value proposition. You know, I want you to subscribe to the Columbus Ledger and Inquirer, and I would ask them, what are the two most important things that you want in your delivery? They say, I want it on time and I want it to be dry. That was my value problem. That's what people wanted back then, right? So in your value proposition, give people the important things that they want. They want attention. They want service. They want follow-up. Okay? So when you are establishing rapport with the client, you are establishing this emotional connection. You know, most people react to you on an emotional level. And so I had a quote in there. It said that research in neuroscience says about 80% of buying decisions are based on emotion, and 20% are based on logic. I'm going to leave it to you to come up with what the logical answers or solutions are for clients, and then your job then is to connect with them emotionally. Okay? So read the article. It goes on to say, until you have rapport, you don't have permission to pitch or persuade a prospect. Have you ever went into a meeting, walked away, and felt like, God, I don't know if that really resonated with that person. I don't know if I made that connection. Well, you got to make that connection. You got to seek that common ground. You got to create that bridge, that dynamic bridge. And so that's what this article is about. And when you are showing empathy, it demonstrates that you understand the emotional state of mind and can meet their needs. That's why we always start the call with, before I get started, I want to make sure that there's anything on your mind first. There could be a sickness, there could be an illness, there could be all kinds of things where they have moved the conversation to another level. So that's what your role is to do. Okay. So read that. I think it would give you good food for thought. Okay. Let's now take a few moments. Any questions about what I've covered so far? Okay. All right. Let's get into the week number six assignment, or week five assignment. And, you know, how are we doing on segmentation, first of all? Any hiccups? Anything I ought to know about in terms of segmentation? So the director of planning, how's our progress on that?
Say out of we had around 50.
Okay.
I'm echoing on somebody's, but out of that 50 or 60, probably 10, after I told them what was going on, they may or may not bring funds over.
Okay.
And probably around 5 either won't answer or won't call me back. So I think we're going to have to do this in two bulk swings. So
sure.
First ones are the ones that, you know, they know what's going on. They know they're going to Drew, which I want done by the end of this month, so they have it on next month's statement. And then the next month, hopefully I can knock out those in-betweens and the ones that won't answer the phone.
Okay, making good progress.
Total, like, maybe tops 10 to 12.
Okay, making good progress. Mm-hmm. All right. Director of Implementation, on segmenting the investment process. You know, that's basically cataloging potential events for clients. How's that coming?
That's you, Johnny.
Yeah, what type of event are you talking about, Curtis?
Well, you know, it could be portfolio structures. It could be recommendations, that type of thing.
Yeah.
How's that been coming?
So that, I think that's kind of, we somewhat had that in our little bag of tricks to begin with. That hasn't changed from what we were doing before. I hope I'm answering your question correctly.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
But we make changes in the portfolios, you know, and, we have discretion with these, accounts, most of them.
Okay.
And then we follow up on a periodic, time frame when to get back with the client, let them know what we did. That's where this 1242 is going to come in good for us. But
okay.
Great. There were several changes done this month to the models.
Okay. Great.
And,
good. Okay. The Lisa, Director of Brand, you've already given me feedback on the implementation of the scheduling tool, agenda and executive summary set up for the client calls. How are we doing on that? I think I might have even given you a, did I send you an article on how to use the executive summary?
I did. That's, and I have it printed out. I haven't had a moment to read it yet. Got it, just a little bit before the call. So we're going to, have a powwow next week with, Peyton, and Johnny and I are going to meet and try to tackle these, mini-me folders. I hope I have the scheduling tool, issue resolved by then. And then we're going to start, mailing out the ones that Johnny's introduced them to. I do have a question though, Curtis. So, know, you sent, well, in our guide for this week's homework, it had the 24-month, like different topics and those things. And
right.
So for Peyton, and I'm just trying to get my head around the whole big picture. So if Peyton and Johnny both are going to have, their daily calls or however we schedule it, you know, we were kind of thinking if they each had 4 a day for, let's say, 4 days a week, Peyton might be, Johnny, we're trying to incorporate how we think about when Johnny is going to go out and actually see some of the clients that's just kind of been his, his little niche way he operates for all these years. And so let's just say we're scheduling that. Do we put those type of topics? Will Peyton and Johnny have the same topic per series of calls, the monthly calls? How do you envision that? Or how does that work for people that have multiple FAs in their team? How do I that?
I think that that's an outstanding question. And I think that you want to have an agenda of topics. And the reason is, for an FA, when you jump from, let's talk about ETFs. Oh, let's stop here over to planning. Let's jump over here to tax minimization strategies. I mean, you know, it's like stuff that's coming every which way. And if you create these educational topics, what you're doing is you're informing the client of your full platform. So when they start engaging referrals, they can say that you are more than what meets the eye. You are more than the traditional person that's only got a stock or a mutual fund in their back pocket. And so create the 18 to 24 month agenda, and that everybody is on the same page with that. Okay. So, you know, I give you an example. When you are going to do the, mid-year outlook, you know, what's Morgan Stanley analyst telling you that what the future looks like? Have that conversation with all the clients during that 30-day time frame. When you are going to look at tax minimization strategies, April is tax time. You're not going to wait till April to have this conversation. So you might want to be thinking about, should that a conversation occur in October, November? So begin to think about your topics and when they should be introduced in terms of the time of year. And you're all going to talk about them. Mm-hmm. Now, in between that time, and I would also, remember I told you the story about talking about long-term care? FA batch processed out for that month, that was a topic. Talked about long-term care. You got your script. You got your brochure. You've been educated by a specialist. You know exactly what you're going to say. You've anticipated the objections. You're ready to go with your topic. It's hard to do that with 10 different offline topics in a course of a month. But when you do that in a batch processing way, you're more effective and more organized. And this person had 30 cases come out in a month because they did it that way. So whatever your topics are, RM mandatory retirement plan distributions, you know, whatever they are, you're going to lay them out. Okay?
Okay.
All right. Great question. Anything else, Lisa?
I think that's all for now. I'm anxious to get the scheduling tool to work for me.
Yeah, absolutely. So the 24-month calendar call topics was in six. What this is going to do is increase your value, differentiate yourself, enable you to, you know, deliver that concierge service. And in these topics, you're avoiding product conversations. So those are the kind of conversations which are non-urgent that you rarely have an opportunity to talk about. Okay. Now, you know, you brought up a good point, Peyton Ford, which was, you know, some people might be ignoring the fact that you told them that we're going to set you up on a 12-4-2 concept, and you're going to train them, you know, to expect that call. That's going to take a couple of months. Remember, a notification is going to go out at least three days ahead of schedule so that they know that call is coming through. I don't know how doctors work in your area, but in my area, I get a phone call, recorded call, that reminds me of my upcoming appointment. So I got one on Monday about a virtual call appointment that's going to take place on Friday at the specific time. And that's just a reminder. I found that to be very helpful. Okay. So that's what you're going to do. And you're going to have less clients fall through the cracks and meet your schedule because you're doing that.
What's your take, Curtis, on a text of that? Just curious, because I've even gotten text messages from doctor appointments recently.
Yeah, I don't think they have to be a personal call. In fact, I think they all should be done electronically, a text or an email. If you have their cell phone numbers, that to me, that works. Then no objections to you doing it that way.
Do you ask for a response back? Would you say that?
Not necessarily. I would just indicate that, you know, if you can't meet at that time, definitely let us know. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Okay.
You only want a response if they can't keep the time.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. So, and the reason we're doing that, I like to give you a rationale as to why sometimes. What's going to happen is you're going to have a game board which is going to measure your calls. Okay? So, for example, let's say you set a goal to do 4 plans that week and you only did 3. So the person who's held accountable for making sure that gets done is going to say, our target was 4 plans and we only got 3 done. What happened? We had a no-show. John Jones didn't show up, didn't let us know. And what you do is you follow up and you say, hey, Joe or John, you missed our call on Tuesday, and I hope you're okay and that nothing seriously happened to you. Now you're showing that emotional concern. I can reschedule you or move this call for the next month. Okay? So now they're kind of saying, oh, wow, man, this team really cares about me. I missed the call. You know, I feel bad about that. I'm going to make sure I'm on that next call. Okay? That's how you handle that. Make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So make sure that when you have your in-person meetings or reviews, that's when you want to get those personal introductions, okay? All right. Now, let's make sure I haven't left anything out here. I've covered your week's video, covered the mini-me folders. You're scheduling your COI meetings. Each member of the team, each producer on the team, should be developing 6 COIs each. Begin to build your 24-month calendar, training your clients to be on time, and scheduling issues are going to be coordinated with the director of brand management, which is Lisa. So out of town clients, missed appointments, emergency situations, I think you're going to find that sometime working virtually is going to be very, very helpful. That'll be a benefit. Okay. Now, let's talk about the homework for week number 6. Again, progress on segmentation, building your 24-month calendar of topics. So give me an update on that. Progress on scheduling COIs and looking at your niche markets. Did I send you an article, by the way, on how to discover the pain points in your niche market?
You did.
Great. So I would review that. Director of leadership, overall progress on segmentation, profitability, growth, and retention for the team. And then move on to chapter 7 of the coaching guide and look at that video for week number 7. Questions, comments about anything I've covered today? All right. I think you all are doing a great job, making great progress. And I think, Johnny, you kind of recognize that, boy, if we get this enthusiastically endorsed model going and referrals, we could potentially have names coming out of our ears. That's why we're trying to get this organization done first. That's why we do that. Okay. Well, look, you have a great rest of the week. It's been my pleasure working with you today. And I would say if there's one or two things that you valued the most, what do you think you valued today, Peyton Ford?
I'd have to say the VIPSPA.
Okay.
For referrals. I know we haven't really executed it yet, but I see the value in it going further once we get everything else down pat.
Okay. Perfect. Johnny?
Yeah, I'm going to agree with Peyton. You know, when you start something new, you're just a little afraid to tip your toe in the pond.
Right.
You've already done it, so we get to bang things back and forth with you to find out what we should expect and anticipate. And
sure.
So far, when I've mentioned the 12-4-2 to people, you've been spot on with their reaction.
Okay.
And I really think the majority of our book is probably hungry for this. I'll say that.
Okay. Fantastic. You know, that's going to be your differentiation in that market. Lisa, anything that you particularly value today?
I don't know where I read it and if that was in today's homework or something right before the calls, but I like the referral. Something that we're going to go away from is the triage emergency room and go to, more of the schedule. We're in triage mode right now. I want to get to that. What's that next we're supposed to be doing?
Okay.
What is it called? Where is it? I can't even find it.
Oh, where they talk about what type of team do you want to be? Do you want to be in that triage mode or I forget that other mode? That
I want to go to the next level. The triage is giving me anxiety.
Yeah, I do. I get it.
Yeah, that's our goal because my whole personality is I've always said I like peace and harmony in the household. That includes my work. I want this to be a little bit more calm and I want us to be organized. I've worked with, I've lived and worked with Johnny for 30 something years. I've worked with Peyton for 2.5 years. They both have great qualities. They both have great, areas of expertise. But somehow we've got to tie knots into both of these two personalities and make it all flow. So any words of comfort or wisdom is appreciated.
All right. Well, look, I know
Peyton is excited about it.
I would just say that right now it's like a ton of stuff is coming at you. And everybody feels this way at this particular juncture. Don't be alarmed. We're going to go constantly go back and forth and review these concepts. Okay. So, you know, I feel like you're doing a great job. You are moving forward at a very, very good clip. So, you're doing well. So don't be alarmed. Okay.
Okay.
And if you ever feel like you need to drop me an email or a phone call, feel free to please do that. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Okay, y'all. It's good to see you. Talk to you soon.
All right. Good to see you. Okay. Take care.
Take care. See y'all.
Bye bye.
Take care, man.
Okay.
See ya.